For 52-year-old Charles Hale, life hasn't been easy.
Mine's very much a riches to rags story.
Life is a lot different today than it used to be.
I had on paper, which, you know, what would look in society's perspective as the perfect life, but there was something missing.
Everything began spinning out of control, and he eventually lost everything.
It's dark, and it's sad, and there is no hope out there.
Then a kind word and a leg up set his course on a path of recovery and faith.
God is in the building, and he directs my footsteps.
This is the story of one man's struggle through homelessness and how it led him to Christ. That's next on Finding Faith. The front steps of the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission, a homeless shelter among other things, is not the destination Charles Hale had in mind for himself when he walked through the door 3 years ago as a 49-year-old man. Just 3 months prior, he'd moved to Island Park to get a fresh start in life. He'd been living on the streets of Phoenix, Arizona for 4 years after his wife had filed for divorce in 2014. For 15 years, he had a successful career with Choice Hotels International, traveling the globe providing computer and technology upgrades for 6,000 locations.
I do trade shows and everything like that. And with that lifestyle is, you know, alcohol is part of it. I had, you know, 2 drinks on my per diem for dinner, and, you know, you're whining and dining guests.
That's Charles Hale. Having a drink with clients was a normal part of the job, and it quickly became a habit, which developed into an addiction. Hale eventually started using cocaine and meth as well. Over time, he became dysfunctional and ultimately lost his job. Around this same time, Hale's father died, and that caused Hale to continue his downward spiral. Hale's wife later kicked him out of the house, cutting him off from their 3 boys.
And I floundered there for a while, looking for help and a way back. But the whole time I was fighting, you know, kind of my own pride, thinking, man, I can do this myself. I don't need any help. And I found it really, really difficult.
Hale now had no contact with his family, and surviving on his own merits became his new goal. After 4 years, though still deep in the throes of his addiction, he managed to get a job renovating the Chalet restaurant off U.S. Highway 20 in Island Park. This was the opportunity Hale felt he needed to prove he could make it on his own. And that's when Hale's life took another tragic turn. After 3 months on the job, the Chalet was completely destroyed in a fire in January of 2018. Firefighters weren't quite sure what caused it, but they told us at the time they thought it might have been soot buildup inside a wood stove or the chimney. No one was injured, but the building had an apartment Hale had been staying in, and he was once again homeless and unemployed. A Google search led him to the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission. With nothing else to lose, Hale finally surrendered and checked himself in. Tyler Perkins, the executive director of the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission, says homelessness is an ongoing problem in Idaho Falls, and the nonprofit serves people from all over the globe because of its proximity to Yellowstone National Park and other tourist attractions. He says the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic last year, combined with all the business growth, is contributing to the rise in homelessness.
These are not specific statistics, but the first couple of months, probably a 20% increase in calls and volume wanting to come here. People flooding into Idaho Falls that literally wanted to come to Idaho Falls and stay at the homeless shelter. That was the reason for coming here.
One reason for the surge of people at the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission is because it's more than just a homeless shelter. It offers a variety of services for those who are struggling, including a recovery program for drug addicts. Something Hale was looking for when he showed up in January of 2018.
When I showed up here and they asked me if I could pass a UA, I was like, you know, you could lie and say yes, but no, I'm going to be completely honest, which is something, you know, that hadn't been part of my repertoire up to that point. I'd been hiding my addictions. I'd been living these other lives. But I'm just going to come out here and be completely vulnerable and tell them everything. And so when they said, can you pass a UA? I was like, no, I couldn't. I would need about 4 days. And they said, no problem. You're in a great place. Let me just make a call over the crisis center. We'll get you over there. And then when you get done there, detoxing, you can come back here and we'll have a bed for you. And so for somebody to give me just that little ounce of hope, it was just amazing. You know, I lost it right there. You know, I'm just bawling.
The six-month program proved to be just what Hale needed to get control of his addiction and get his life back. There was a strong spiritual aspect to it, which Hale resisted at first.
I gave it an honest chance. I would come down in the mornings before everybody got up, and I would go into the dining hall, and I would read the Bible, and I was open to it. I kind of just made it, you know, this informal commitment with myself to say, okay, let's try this, okay? Mm-hmm. And if tomorrow is better than today, we'll keep going.
Now, Hale has a complicated history with religion. He remembers attending the Presbyterian church with his family growing up. Two of his sisters later converted to other churches after getting married. Watching his sisters go in different directions was confusing to Hale. And he says it gave him mixed messages about his own faith.
People had told me, okay, you know, you need to find God, and this is how you do it. No, you don't just open up the Bible and read it from the front cover to the end cover. You need to start here, or you need to start here. And, you know, when I had those pride issues, I was like, I don't like to be told what to do, you know?
But now Hale's perspective was much different. His experiences had brought him to his lowest point, and he was willing to do whatever it took to overcome his addiction, even if it meant reading the Bible cover to cover. He remembers reading the story of Job and describes it as an aha moment for him.
And I was like, oh my God, and, you know, I thought I had it bad, you know?
Yeah.
There's someone else who, you know, who am I now to complain, you know?
Right.
And I was like, and then it was done. It's all over, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going on this.
Hale completed the program, and he's been clean and sober now for about 3 years. Once he graduated, he started thinking about the next chapter of his life. Where would he go from here? After everything Hale had been through, he says he had a desire to give back in some way, and he wanted to help transform other people's lives the way his life had been. At that time, the Mission Board was putting together a committee to revamp the recovery program, and Hale was invited to be part of it. That invitation led him to his current position as director of a program called Navigate.
When I was going into this program, I wanted to, you know, make sure that was a component that was in the program. Because I tried it, you know, like I said, I tried it at those other programs where they look after your physical, mental, emotional, and it didn't take hold. And so, you know, in this program, we, you know, introduced that, you know, another component, that spiritual side.
Hale says surrendering his will and putting his trust in God was absolutely critical in overcoming his addiction. Time spent praying and reading the Bible is one thing that's made the most difference in his life.
I have time in stillness every morning. You know, I read a devotion, and, you know, and I spend time in the Word, and that sets the tone for my day.
Another thing that's made a big difference for him is meeting Aaron Engstrom. Engstrom is one of the first people to enroll in the Navigate program.
I came into the Mission February 5th of 2020. I was an opiate addict for a long time.
And that was Aaron, by the way. Engstrom is originally from Iowa, and was introduced to drugs as a kid. He broke his leg in a motorcycle accident in 2015, resulting in multiple surgeries. The medication resulting from those surgeries only made his addiction worse. He ended up moving to San Francisco, California, where he lived in a roach-infested apartment for about 3 months. Engstrom says it was about the size of a closet and cost $900 a month. He wound up on the streets, living day to day trying to scrounge up enough money just to get his fix. That lasted about 2 years. He later moved to Bozeman, Montana to live with a friend. After 2 months, he got a job and moved into his own place.
I ended up driving to Las Vegas with a friend, and then on the way back, I got arrested here in Idaho Falls. I got pulled over and I had drugs in the car.
He spent a night in jail and was released the next day on the condition that he return for his scheduled court date in December of 2019. He went back to Bozeman, however, and never showed up. He was arrested in Bozeman the following month and extradited back to Idaho Falls. Once again, he was released with a pending court date after spending a night in jail. But this time, he wasn't allowed to return to Bozeman. With no ties to Idaho and nowhere to go, a woman at the courthouse recommended Engstrom go to the Idaho Falls Rescue Mission. And that's exactly what he did.
Dude, I literally came in here with nothing. I had what was on my back. I got released from jail at Bonneville County, and I walked over here.
Engstrom was approved for the Navigate program, and the next 7 months were the most difficult of his life. But he says it was worth it, because he has his life back again.
When you live in that, like, addicted, kind of like on the street life, like, it's not, like, it doesn't even feel like a progressive amount of time, like a linear amount of time, because your every day is the same. You, like, wake up sick, do whatever you can to get money to get high, and then hope you don't die, and then repeat. And I used to get, like, really, like, bummed out, like, really depressed, because I could see no way out of that at all. I'm just truly grateful, and this program isn't for everybody, but like the people it is for, it is truly life-changing. It's been really amazing.
Engstrom says he's learned a lot about God's love for him, and he also feels a desire to help others in similar circumstances. He currently has a temporary job at Idahoan Foods in Louisville and is working towards becoming a peer support specialist at the mission. Hale says it's been rewarding to watch Engstrom's transformation, and what they've been through together gives them a close bond.
Our motto here is, the necklace that Aaron got me says, is hold fast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so that's, you know, just no matter what happens, just hold fast. We'll get through it. We'll get through it together, and we're fine family now. This is my brother right here.
But the story doesn't end there. There's still the matter of Hale's family, whom he hasn't had any contact with since his wife kicked him out more than 6 years ago. Hale started writing letters to his kids every week since the day he checked in to the rescue mission. Those letters received no response for years. But on December 28th, 3 days after Christmas, Hale finally got a letter from his oldest son, Braden, who is now 18.
Can I read it out loud?
Yeah, absolutely.
It says, "Dear Mr. Hale, it has been quite a while. How have you been?" This is your son. He's calling you Mr. Hale.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't
had contact.
Hasn't had contact for, at this point, how long?
Yeah, for like 5 years.
5 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the letter, Braden writes about starting college, breaking up with his girlfriend, and many other experiences he's had over the years. But most of all, he expresses his desire for Hale to be part of his life again and to reconnect with him.
"Thank you for your attention. I very much appreciate a response back whenever possible. Your favorite firstborn son, A. Braden Hale."
After all these years, Hale says the possibility of reconciling and reconnecting with his son is an answer to many prayers.
"At first, I was terrified to open the letter. And then I just, you know, I prayed about it and then opened it and, you know, I was completely just overcome. And I was like, okay, how am I going to respond now?"
Hale says he struggled to know how to respond. Instead of telling Braden about his journey, he opted to just stick with the issues Braden addressed in the letter. I would be blessed and honored to have a relationship with you in any capacity, Hale wrote at the end of his response. Your friend, Mr. Hale. Hale isn't sure when he and his son will reconnect, but he says he has faith that when the time is right, God will bring them together again. After a long and difficult journey, Hale says he's grateful that when he lost everything, including his own family, God never gave up on him. He feels blessed for getting a second chance, and he's honored to be in the business of transforming lives.
That letter wouldn't be sitting there had it not been for this mission.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this humble little rundown building, that God is in the building, and you know, if he directs my footsteps, and you know, and I've learned a lot about faith and a lot about trust.
For EastIdahoNews.com, I'm Rhett Nelson, and this is Finding Faith.